Good evening. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. God is good. Amen. My name is Sidney. Sidney in English, but I like Sidney better. My Brazilian name. But every time I come to the U.S., my name becomes Sidney. And I'm very okay with that. But if you want to pronounce my name the correct way, make me happy. My name is Sidney. I'm married to a beautiful young lady. She's my African princess, my African queen. She was born in Brazil, but she grew up in Africa, Mozambique. And that's where I went to ask her to marry me. She didn't know it was her birthday party. There I show up. Only her parents knew I was going to show up in Mozambique in Africa. And about 60 missionaries. When we were praying, asking God, you know, is this relationship good? Is this what you want? She told me one day, hey, my future husband got to ask me to marry me in Mozambique, Africa. And I kept that in my mind, and I never forgot. So when we decided that it was a serious relationship, I called her father. He's a pastor. I had never met him. And I told him, hey, your wife, your daughter is the one. She's going to be my wife. Is that okay? He's like, man, you are a strong man. You're calling me here in Africa without knowing me. And you're asking for my daughter's hands. Yes, you can come after asking me 10,000 questions. And praise God, he gave me wisdom to answer all of them. And I passed the test. And we've been married for almost 9 years. And we have two beautiful kids. My son, our son. His name is Maliki Emmanuel. He's going to be 6 years old in April 30th. He's waving. And my daughter is somewhere over there. She's a year and 2 months. She's a miracle. Unfortunately, we lost a child about, my wife had a miscarriage, a really bad one. And we were really sad, but God gave us a lot of joy by sending us that beautiful baby girl called Eloa. So we are really glad to be here. God is very good. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for this incredible time we are having here in this city with these awesome people. Thank you because you're the one that opened the doors for us to be here. Speak through me, bless this church, encourage this church to keep doing what they are already doing, preaching the gospel to this city, and to everyone that you bring to them, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For us, it's great to be here, and if I mispronounce some things, because I'm still learning English, our language is Portuguese. Brazil, if you don't know, we are in South America. We have about 210 million people. It's a continental country, and we have four different states in the southeast of Brazil. We have Rio de Janeiro, pretty much everyone knows about it. It's a beautiful place, but unfortunately a lot of social problems too. Then we have São Paulo, that's the second state. It's the biggest one in Brazil, about 33 million people. Then we have Minas Gerais, that's where I was born. I'm from Minas Gerais, the land of cheese. Brazil is very famous because of cheese. So if you ever go to Brazil, you're going to eat a lot of cheese and have some coffee. And Brazilian coffee is very different than the ones that you guys drink here. It's Starbucks. It's crazy. I got to sell my kidneys to have Starbucks in that place. You know, in Brazil, you usually drink like this much of coffee. It's black, really black, and a lot of sugar. So if you ever go to Brazil, if you don't drink sugar, everywhere you go, they put sugar for you. So you already know that. So when you come to visit us, so you already know it. It's a strong coffee. And really black, the coffee, and a lot of sugar. So when you go to visit us, you already know that's how it's going to be. And it is much of coffee. Everywhere I go here to visit, like for example, we're staying with the sister Vicky and brother Jim. Everywhere I go here, people give me like this size of coffee, this size. It's crazy how awesome the U.S. is. There are things that only you guys have, you know. Like, for example, to stop for a pedestrian. In Brazil, we don't stop for a pedestrian. You know, pedestrian there is like, it's a suggestion for us to stop, you know. Cars just keep going really fast. And here, if you step on the line, most people will stop for the pedestrian. So, you guys are awesome. And the other things that you guys have here that we don't have in Brazil is refill. So I'm telling you how awesome you guys are. You guys have a lot of good things going for you. You know? And like I go to a restaurant, you can have as much as you want, like soda. You know, in Brazil, it's this much of soda. If you want the second one, you gotta pay for it, okay? Here, the cup is like this big or like that huge. You know, someone took me to a place called 7-Eleven, gave me like a size of like this. I was like, woo! You know, if this is not gluttony, I don't know what this is. But I drank the whole thing. It was good. Yeah, but we're still going to heaven. Praise God. And, man, a lot of food. I went to a restaurant, and they gave me a plate like this big. We can feed like two or three people in Brazil. I was eating like this, you know, trying to eat the whole thing. So it's just a lot of things. Like, for example, the school bus. I've been noticing everywhere that is a school bus, people stop, fight away. Everyone, you know, gets like this. In Brazil, kids are running, crossing. It's crazy. Ambulance. These days I saw an ambulance passing. Like the ambulance was like, I don't know how many miles away. And everyone went to the side and stopped the car. I was like, what's happening? What's happening? You know, it's just crazy. Now, and they explained to me that when an ambulance comes, you know, everyone got to stop. If not, they get tickets. And I was like, tickets? Yeah. In Brazil, ambulance are like, they got to stop there. You know, siren going. Everyone crazy, trying to pass. But unfortunately, it doesn't work in Brazil. So a lot of different things here in the U.S. and we enjoy it. There's a lot of good things in this place. When you start traveling to other places around the world, you will come back home and you will think, man, this is actually a great nation to live. So I wanted to thank Pastor Nathan and his family for just being so nice to us and doing the bridge and just talking to us, directing us. And also Molly. Molly is a longtime friend. We went to school, to the same school. And it's great to meet her husband. Man, he's strong. Woo! If he goes to Brazil, everyone's going to be checking you guys, man. But in Brazil, most people are short and not. A lot of Americans here is really tall and he's strong. Let's put it that way. Very strong. And by the way, here in the U.S., you guys have a lot of different things. For example, in Brazil, you can't describe people. If you go to Brazil, don't feel offended. People are going to look at you and say, hey, you're big. And it's not an offensive thing, but I know here in the U.S., if I ever look at you and say something like that, just pray for me because I'm not, you know, but I know here it's a big thing. So if I say, hey, Pastor Nathan, you're big, you know, someone can sue me. But in Brazil, it's very normal. You know, it's just very normal to say that, you know. It's just a different world. Pastor Scott, just great meeting you, sir, and your family. We had great lunch at his house. We ate some good food there. And of course, our host, brother, if I mispronounce you guys' names, I'm so sorry, Brother Jim and Sister Vicky, I hope I pronounced it. But it's great to meet you guys. If you brought your Bible, I want to read just a passage before I get into this, what God did in my life. God has been so good. God is so good. Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, chapter 14, verse 13 till verse 21. I'll do whatever you guys tell me. I'm in your world, in your house, in Brazil, in our culture. Most churches there, when we go read the Word of God, we stand up. Just for the reverence of the Word of God. But here, I've been to some churches. Most churches don't stand up. Here, how do you guys do it? When to read the Word of God, do you guys stand up as a sign of reverence? Is that okay? Okay. I don't want to make anything so different. But in Brazil, as a sign of reverence, we stand up. And that's just something most churches there do in Brazil. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, it says like this. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away, so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking 5 loaves and broke the and broke in the two fish. And looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So you may be seated in the presence of God. It's very interesting that Jesus, he went to a solitary place to spend time with God. If you read the New Testament, you're going to see a lot of different times that Jesus, he would wake up very early to pray, to spend time with his Father. It's very interesting that also in the New Testament, you will see that the disciples, when Jesus was spending time with his Father, the disciples were sleeping. So when the disciples were sleeping, Jesus was spending time with his Heavenly Father, with his Father. And it's interesting that when he looked for a solitary place, the crowds heard where Jesus was spending time with God. And there is another story in the Word of God that a father, he had a son, that he had, unfortunately, a spirit upon his life. And he went and took his son to the disciples and asked for his disciples to set his son free. This morning, Pastor Nathan mentioned the story about this father that had a son that was falling on water and falling on fire. And unfortunately, this father was not able to have his problem resolved through the disciples. But he went to Jesus, and Jesus was able to set that boy free. For many years, that boy was in bondage. And it's interesting that the disciples went to Jesus privately and asked like this, Jesus, why was we not able to help that little boy? And Jesus answered what? He answered, that cast of demons can only come out through prayer. And there is power in prayer. There is power when we spend time with Jesus, when we spend time with God. When you come to this church, God is preparing you. God is equipping you. I can see that your pastors, the people that lead you, they have Word of God. They have wisdom. They have discernment to lead this church into the presence of God. God is blessing this church. This is a historical. When I was hearing the history of this church, you guys, like 1903, something like that, the beginning of 19. It's a historical church. God has done great things through this church. And God, look at me, God will always keep using this church. So keep following God. Keep seeking His face. Keep praying. Keep fasting, because God has great things for this church. I'm the result of a prayer, Mom. My mother, Juraci, that's her name, Juraci. She used to pray for my family. My house was smaller then. From right here, look at the situation, until that wall over there. I've seen so many beautiful houses in the U.S. My house was like this big. We did not have nice carpets like this. Sometimes when I visit some families here in the U.S., I can even sleep some of the house here. The carpets are like thick, really nice. We don't have carpets in the house of Brazil. Most houses that go in Brazil, there is no nice carpets like this. It's tiles, a dirt floor, or concrete floor. In my house, we didn't have nothing of that. We only had dirt floor. And I have seven siblings, sisters and brothers. And we, inside of this house, this small, we had one person inside of that house that was saved by Jesus. My mother, Juraci. We didn't have food in that house. A lot of times I had to go out to beg for food. In Brazil, when you live in extreme poverty, you got to ask people for food. You go to your neighbors. You ask for food. You go to the streets. You beg for food. Or you start stealing from people. But inside of my house, there was a woman, my mother, Juraci, a praying mother. I remember a lot of different times. We didn't have no bathroom. For us to do our necessities, we had to do outside. We had no roof. It was a horrible situation. But my mother used to pray, saying like this. I remember her praying, God, change the situation of my family. Change our house. Raise my kids to be men and women of God. If you looked at our situation, it looked really bad. We had no food. We didn't have no furniture in the house. All my brothers, they ran away. And now, when I was 6 years old, some of the kids here, they must be like 5, 6. How old is your son here? How old is your son? 7. When I was 6 years old, now it was my turn. When I was 6 years old, I ran away from home. And I went to live in the third largest city of Brazil with about 7 million people. In Brazil, we have a big problem with the street kids in Brazil. The street kids, boys and girls, and even babies living on the streets in Brazil. I left home because I was tired of the beatings of my father. I promised the pastors, I told Pastor Nathan, I was not going to tell all the details, but I'm going to give you the overall of the situation. My father used to come home. We didn't have a stairs because most, I don't know if you know, Brazil, we have a lot of slums, favelas. The favelas are on the hills, like in the mountains, and you have thousands of people living there with no sewage, no sanitation, nothing there. And most people, the electricity is what we call cat. It's a slang in Brazil. They steal from the government. They, you know, they make up something there. I'm not going to tell you. You guys, I'm not in Brazil. In Brazil, we don't tell people because we don't want people to be practiced after you preach, you know? Because sometimes in Brazil, some of the church, with people here, they go and they practice it. But here, nobody's going to steal electricity, right? So there is a way of stealing electricity from people in Brazil. So if you go to the slums, most of the time, the police will never go inside the slums in Brazil. If they go, it's with the army or a lot of police. So that's where I was. My father, he used to get home. He used to punch my mother with his fist, hit her with a piece of wood, kick her, step on her, and he used to yell and scream, throw things. So if you have your son and daughter here, look at me, you as a father, you as a mom. He speak words of love. Love them, fight for them. My father used to call us trash. He used to say to us, school is not no important. You don't need to go to school. Go work. Go sell things on the streets. Go make money. Bring money home. But on the streets of Brazil, the girls, they got to do a lot of things. The adults, I hope you can understand some of the codes I'm going to say because I can't say directly what they do. They got to do a lot of things on the streets to make money. So when I was 6 years old, I went to live on the streets of Brazil. And on the streets of Brazil, for you to be a gangster, you got to dye your hair, bleach your hair yellow. She probably saw a lot of gangsters in Brazil with yellow hair. So they bleach it like something that's so inexpensive and it burns. So the first thing I did, I bleached my hair yellow. It's not like the beautiful yellow of some of you guys' hair. It looks ugly. It's yellow, kind of reddish. And the second thing I had to do, I had to learn how to walk differently. Because when you're a gangster in Brazil, you gotta walk like this. What's up? You gotta walk different. You gotta speak differently. So they taught me the whole thing. You know, I bleached my hair. I started using a bunch of bling bling. And now I start learning. Oh, that watch is not a lot of money. That watch is a lot of money. Woo! That shoes? No, it's not a lot of money. But that one, I learned all these things. Oh, that purse? It's fake. It's not a lot of money. That one? So I learned all these things. Oh, that necklace? It's not a lot of money. It's fake. But that one, it's, you know, a lot of money. So on the streets, they taught me all the bad things. So from 6 to 11, I was living on the streets of Brazil. A lot of bad things happened when I was on the streets of Brazil. But look, I still had a mother inside of my house praying for me. I remember one time she was laying on the floor. She couldn't walk for 3-4 days because my father had beat her really bad. And she held my hands and she looked me in my eyes and she said, Sidney, you're not going to be like your father. You're going to be a man of God. I prophesy. She looked at me and said, I'm prophesying of your life that you're not going to be like your father. You're going to be a man of God. You're going to be a different father. You're going to be someone in your life. And she looked at me, even though the circumstance was not good, but she was praying that God will change our family. I'm telling you, there is prayer, there is power in prayer. If you're praying for the city, if you're praying for your family, if you're praying for something, don't stop praying. Keep praying. I'm the result of a praying mother. My mother never gave up on us. Even when I was on the streets of Brazil, in one of the largest cities, I still had a mother far away praying for me. And God answers prayers. Amen? God always is hearing. God is listening to you. He answers prayers. And do you know how he answers prayers? He sent missionaries. That was YWAM folks. That, have you ever heard about YWAM Youth with the Mission? Okay, a lot of people have heard. That was some Brazilians, Americans, Europeans, missionaries from YWAM. They used to go to the streets of Brazil really late at night. Like sometimes 10, 11 at night on the streets of Brazil. In places that the police would not even go. Where there was like about 30, 40 street kids. And do you know what the missionaries would do? They would sit right next to us. And someone like your husband would take a guitar. They would sing songs. They would sing praise. They would take bread. They would take hot chocolate. They would take juice. And they would sit right next to us. And by the way, street kids in Brazil, they stink. I was stinking. I was smelling bad. I didn't take no shower. Most street kids in Brazil take no shower. You know? And they sat right next to us. They embraced us just like Pastor Nathan is embracing his wife. You know? They used to embrace us when we were stinking. They used to look at us and say, you know what? God is going to take you out of here. There is a place where you call Rescue House, the house that YWAM has. And if you want to get out of the streets, we can help you. And they used to cut our hair because our hair was all messed up, you know. And there was a nurse from Finland. She was a nurse in Brazil. She couldn't really speak Portuguese, but she used to take care of our bruises. Our feet all dirty, and she would wash it, and she would take care of our bruises. A missionary from Finland in Brazil, from YWAM. From 6 to 11, they asked me, Sidney, do you want to get out of the streets? And I always said, no. I was, what would you call it? I didn't listen very much. I was very stubborn. When you're doing bad things, if there is young people here, listen to me. When you're blind doing bad things, you are stubborn. You're not listening to people that God put in your life. Your father, your mother, your pastor, your leader. God is using them to save you. Amen? Yeah, somebody said amen here. They are the voice of God in your life. So young people, the kids, the teenagers, the young people. If there is someone that is telling you, don't do that, don't do this. By the way, most of us that are young, we don't like to listen to people, huh? When they're telling you, yes, let's do it. Your friends, let's do it. Then we, hey, yeah, let's go. But people that are the voices of God in our lives, they will always tell us things that we don't like to listen. I'm going to repeat that one to the young people. The people that God has put to bless us, to be a protection of our lives, they will always tell us things that we don't like to listen. So when your parents, your leaders are telling you, hey, don't do that, usually what young people do, in Brazil, not here, but in Brazil, they go all crazy, you know? That's how I was. The missionaries told me, hey, stop using drugs. I was addicted to paint thinner, glue, marijuana, lolo, and crack. In Brazil, all the street kids, most of them are addicted to drugs. And I was there. If you go to Brazil, you're going to see a lot of kids using drugs like glue and paint thinner, sniffling. So I was there, dirty. I look ugly. Because when you are far away from God, you look ugly. Come on, somebody. When you're close to God, you look good. Look at me right now. My wife thinks I'm a superstar. But when I was in the world, I looked scary. If you saw some of my pictures when I was in the world, man, I looked scary. You know, I used to walk like this. I didn't look at you. I looked so different. But now look what God does. That's why it's always important to be near God, because God is good. Amen? So they never gave up on me. Don't give up on the city. Don't give up on your family. My mom, the people, the missionaries, they never gave up on me. So, do you know what? When I was 11 years old, my best friend from the streets, he called me to steal. And I said, no, I'm not going to go. I'm going to go buy some drugs. When I went, God was saving me. He went to steal a retired police officer in Brazil a lot of different times. How can I put this? The police does things that are not good in Brazil a lot of times. I'm not going to say all the things, but it's really bad. So a lot of times we were sleeping about like 33 kids. And we would wake up and kids were gone because the business people were paying the people to clean the streets. Clean the streets is like take street kids to a forest and kill them. Yeah, I'm going to stop right there and, you know, do that. So, but God protected me. God was there protecting my life because I had someone praying for me. My mother was praying for me. When I heard that he had died, I went to the YWAM base and I told them, hey, can I stay here? And they're like, who, you want to get out of the streets? From 6 to 11, we've been trying to get you out of the streets. What happened? I told them this story. Like, do you really want to get out of the streets? I said, yes. I had to stay in the rescue house. What's the name of the house? I had to stay there for 15 days. Then I was going to go to the restoration house where I was staying until I was 18 years old. For 15 days, 15 days, I had to take shower in the morning and take shower in the afternoon. Maybe for you it's easy, but for me it was hard. Go take shower, said Janae. I was like, no. I couldn't swear. I couldn't fight because on the streets, everything's like this. Come, fight. Because when you were hurt, you start hurting people. That's why it's important for you to allow God to heal you. Because when you are hurt, you will always hurt other people. So everything I wanted to resolve like this. Everything was like, come on, come on. Yeah, but they told me, no, Sidney, relax. Here we don't do things like that, you know. God started changing my life. The first day I was there, another boy, he beat me up. And I was like, I'm going to run away from this place. Look at me. What happened? The next day I'm leaving. In my book, I call her my angel. There was a missionary, tall lady, blonde, blue eyes. She was doing missions in Brazil. She was from England. Her name is Hannah. She was doing missions. She was a volunteer in YWAM. I was a boy there. When I was trying to leave, the missionary man, they held me. And they told me, Sidney, don't leave. God has a plan for you. But, you know, when she saw that situation, I was not going to stay. I was going to leave. She looked at me and said, Sidney, with her broken Portuguese. She was from England. But she knew a little bit of Portuguese. She said, Sidney, you no leave. You stay. God loves you. I love you too. She was thinking holiness. She was thinking purity. She was thinking about doing mission. She was trying to reach out to me to help me. But me, I grew up in the slums. I grew up doing bad things. I thought, man, I'm going to get her, you know. She's mine. And she told me, you sit right next to me. And I sat right next to her. And she started singing some songs in English. I did not understand nothing she was singing. But I just was in love with that girl. So I just stayed there. She was not in love with me. She didn't. I was not even thinking about that. She was a young lady, like, oh, way older than me. I was 11 years old, but, you know, my mentality was no good. I was no good. But she was thinking about holiness, purity. So for 15 days, she was like, Sidney, you no leave. I was like, I'm going to leave. Where is that blonde girl? I'm going to leave. I was always looking for the blonde girl, for the blonde missionary. For 15 days, God used a very strange situation to protect my life. Every day, I'm going to leave. And the blonde girl, you no leave. You stay. God loves you. Me love you too. Nothing happened. Because she was a woman of God. But my mind was like, yeah, tonight, today, nothing happened. And I was like, oh, she's... Nothing happened. But for 15 days, God protected my life. I went to the restoration house. Where I was going to stay until 18 years old. Until 18, the first 2 years, it was really hard. I had to go to school. I hated school. My father used to tell me, you're stupid. You're not going to be nobody. You got to be on the streets. He used to tell me things like that. Because all my brothers and even my older sister used to live on the streets. One of my brother, he just got out of jail a little while ago. And he was in prison for 7 years because of drugs. The other one disappeared. We don't even know where he is. The other one died. So it's really a bad situation. For 2 years, I used to run, come back, run, come back. But when I was 14 years old, look at me. If God is using you to bless someone, when I was 14 years old, I was on the streets of Brazil. And the coordinator of the house, his name is Alexandre, where Molly used to go. He went to the streets. And he found me on the streets with his wife. And he said, Sidney, get up. And I was like, said, get up. And he said, look at me. I never looked at people in the eyes. Because in Brazil, when you are in gangster, you never look people in the eyes. Especially the police officer. You always got to have your hands like this, heads down. And he said, put your heads up. Look at me. And when I looked at him, he said, Sidney, I love you. And I want you to go back to the restoration house, to the YWAM base, and I want to help you. I'm going to help you. We are there to help you. In that day, I started crying because I had never heard someone saying that they loved me. A little boy, 14 years old, on the streets of Brazil, now was crying in the middle of the streets, and he was hugging me. He prayed for me, and I went back to the restoration house to never run away again. I had not a dream. Do you know what was my first dream? To come to the U.S. The first thing I told everyone, hey, now I have my life changed. I'm going to go to the U.S. Everyone's like, you're going to the U.S. The Brazilians are like, yeah, that's not going to happen. You don't have money. You don't have nothing. But every year there was some crazy people like Molly that used to go to Brazil. Molly used to go there to Brazil for about 35 days, 40 days. And she used to go with an American team with about 30 people, 40 people, a lot of people. And every time they went to Brazil, we were so happy. Because they used to take us to McDonald's. McDonald's for rich people in Brazil, man. But when the Americans come, they take us to McDonald's. Praise God. Praise God for us there, right? Some people are like, McDonald's no good. But in Brazil, I went to McDonald's here, it's like a dollar. A McDonald's for a dollar? A dollar? And I was like, no, tell me again. I don't understand English. Tell me, $1? In Brazil, the same hamburger was like $7, you know what I'm saying? It's so expensive. So when they used to come, Molly and her team, every year we used to receive a lot of Americans. They used to come with the team. McDonald's, my first McDonald's was with them. My first pizza place, pizzeria, we had a competition of how many slices we would eat. I used to eat about 18. Some of the boys used to eat about 32, 34. Yeah. We didn't go like the whole year. So when you guys used to come, the Americans, we used to eat when you guys go, you know. The first birthday that I had, it was inside the home. I had never had a birthday cake. Here, there is a lot of places I go. People have like, today, Sister Vicky, she put about 3 pies in front of me. And I was like, Lord, help me. My sister, my wife was like, woo! Because I had to preach, that I was like, not right now. But when I go back, she had 3 awesome pie there, and I was ready because I was preaching, I was gonna minister, so I didn't want to eat no pie. But when I go back, sister, you know, oh, thank you. So the first pizza place I ate, I went, it was with the Americans. The first movie theater I stepped in, I went, it was when the Americans used to go. I was like this, you know, it was like that. In my first dream, I want to go to the U.S. So everywhere there was an American, there was me, a Brazilian guy, following the Americans. How do you say this in English? Oh, bench. How do you say this? Bible. TV screen. How do you say this? Watch. How do you say this? Hair. How do you say this? Eye. Where there was an American, there was following you guys. How do you say this? Floor. How do you say this? Pastor. Pulpit. Flower. Because I said, I'm going to learn English because I'm going to go to the U.S. All the Brazilians, even the missionaries, they used to make fun of me. They used to say, oh, there goes the gringo. That's what you call when you go to Brazil. Don't feel offended. You're just gringo. You know. Then they call it gringo. And they used to call me gringo just because I was learning English. They used to call me a lot of names. Like, oh, he's rolling his tongue. You know, they used to do like this. He's going crazy. He's saying that he's going to the U.S. It's like the story of Joseph. They used to make a lot of fun of me. And I say that in the book, so my wife, she always looks at me, she's like, don't say that, don't say that. But I'm going to say, in my book, I write it. So, they used to call me, do you know what they used to call me? The fart of Americans. Do you know why? An American was walking, I was right behind you guys walking, asking, how do you say this in English? How do you say this glass? I was like a glue. I was determined. Hey, look at me. The young people. I used to do a lot of bad things. I used to hustle for a lot of bad things. I was determined to do a lot of bad things. When Jesus saved me, He changed my life. Now I was telling everyone, hey, now I'm going to hustle for Jesus. I'm going to be crazy for Jesus. I was crazy to do a lot of bad things. So now I'm going to be crazy for Jesus. There is a lot of people when they're not saved, you know, they're crazy. When they come to Jesus, they're like this. Let's evangelize. Mm-mm. Sunday school service, no, sleep. You know, when they were, you know, I got to sleep. Oh, the church service is not done. I gotta be out of here by 7. But when they were in the world, they were like until midnight, like jumping in a party. And when they come to Jesus, they're like this. Not here. I'm talking about the Brazilians, okay? Not here. So it's the same thing. I told God, hey, if I was crazy to fight the police, to do bad things, now I wanna be crazy for Jesus. I had the courage to go places nobody wanted to go when I was crazy. Now I want to be crazy going to places that nobody wants to go to preach the gospel. What you got to do, the young people, is turn the negativity to positivity. So what was bad, I turned in and I was like, now I'm going to learn English. So I was determined. I started rolling my tongue. I was like, I'm going to speak English. I want to learn English. I want to learn English. And I learned. So. But there was an American lady from Michigan. She went to Brazil with a team and she looked at me and she said, I'm going to take you to Michigan. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to Michigan. I'm going to go to the U.S. She told me, and everyone's like, oh, she's lying. She's going to go back to the busy life of the U.S. She's going to forget you. A lot of people promise a lot of things. They never do anything, especially Americans. When they come, they say they're going to come back. They never come back. And I was like, But I was like, well, I'm going to go. She went to Michigan. She went to a travel agency. And when she asked how much it was to bring a poor boy from Brazil to study in the U.S., it was a lot of money. She went home and said, the next day, a businessman with a suit and tuxedo show up in the same place and asked the owner of that place, hey, he did not know anything. And he said, how much money it is to bring to pay for 3 people from poor countries to study in the U.S., and I want to give $250 for them to spend per month. The owner of the place, his eyes were like this, because, you know, it was happening right there. God was working. He called my friend, and guess what? 3 months later, I'm arriving in Michigan. I'm going to tell you the neighborhood so you can check it later. Bloomfield Hills. You don't know what that is? Check that out. He's from Michigan. He knows that. Oh, big house, big mansions, you know that, right by Lasser High School. Oh, you went to... The family is from Kensington Community Church, and I... See? Hey, I went to Kensington Community Church. The family that received me is the Dashers. Woo! Hey, I got goosebumps right here. Woo, that's crazy. See? They live in Bloomfield Hills in a big house, huge house. And my room was so big. I have a bathroom. I had what do you call it in English? Jacuzzi? That you just stay there in the water, the hot water. How do you call it? You guys have, most of the Americans have in your house a jacuzzi?
Jacuzzi,
yeah. Hot tub, yeah. We don't have that in Brazil. Most people don't have hot tub in Brazil. Most houses here have hot tub. You know? And you guys have fireplace. Most people in Brazil, actually, nowhere in Brazil will find hot fireplace. Because it's hot. Yeah, that's true. That makes sense. But they look great for me. I love them. In Sister Vicky and Brother Jim, they have before I came here, I was just sitting there, you know, with my daughter. I love them. They look so beautiful. Some big ones. Some people have huge ones. And they're just incredible. My wife loves to take pictures on them, you know. So we look silly for the Americans there because everyone's like, okay, taking pictures in the fireplace, like Brazilians, man, Brazilians. Hey, but guess what? I was arriving in Bloomfield Hills like a prince. That guy, Will Smith, when he was Prince of Ballet, I was like in Michigan like this. I went to Lasso High School where he said, you know, he went. I played soccer there. They used to call me the Brazilian boy. You gotta see the first time I saw snow. We don't have no snow in Brazil. The first time I saw snow, it was like something white is coming from heaven. I knew there was something happening here. And when I went outside, all the people from Lasso High School, the students, their eyes were like this. The Brazilian guy, man. And I was jumping like this. Hey, you're going to laugh. It's because I use a lot of drugs, so my brain sometimes doesn't work, you know. So I was grabbing the snow, and I was trying to make a ball like this. And I was trying to put it in my pocket, and I was saying like, I'm going to show my mom in Brazil how snow is like. My brain sometimes it does not work really well, you know. But I thought, you know, I could make a ball and I was going to take it to Brazil. But suddenly I discovered that it was melted. So I have a lot of stories. For 3 months, one of the things that was really hard for me, it was to love the U.S. For me, it was so hard because everything's big. You know, everything's huge. Everything's like a lot. You know, like my room there, it was like 3 times, 4 times bigger than my house. Just my room, not the house. They had a basketball court. They have so many things. They had 3 cars. You know, they had a car that opens here in the top. And my, you know, so we could just go like this. It's just a lot of things that we don't have in Brazil, you know. For 3 months, I was very sad. I was like, man, this is like, I felt guilty. I was like, how can I stay here in the U.S. if my family is suffering? My brother's there from the shelter is suffering. I can't stay here. Tom Dasher, he called me. He sent me and said, Sidney, I can see you not having fun in the U.S., and it's not good for you. And I was like, it's really tough. He's like, why don't you think like this? Just imagine God brought you here so you can see the U.S., experience the U.S., so He's building you up so you can bless your family and bless your country and bless people's lives. When he said that, that clicked me. That clicked me. That clicked. And I was like, oh. And then I started enjoying the U.S. I went to homecoming, Sadie's. I did everything. I loved it. And it was a great time. I lived in Michigan for a year. I went back to Brazil to the same shelter where I was living. When I was 19, I got an invitation to do what? Molly used to go to Brazil with Master's Commission. She was not in Master's Commission no more. The same pastor, her pastor, now invites me, I was 19 now, not a kid anymore, to come to the U.S. and I lived in California for 3 years. That's when God prepared me. God was preparing me for something to do in Brazil. Went back to Brazil. She had just came from Africa. She saw me. She wanted me. We got married. Now we have 2 kids. Yeah. You can ask her afterwards. We have 2 kids. My son, my daughter. I'm a writer of 5 books and have been to 29 countries preaching the gospel. Look at me. Only because I had a mother that was praying for me. And God had a plan for my life. God, He was preparing me to do what I'm doing right now. So what I wanted to leave you guys with is this text that we read. The crowd went to look for Jesus. There is a lot of people in this city, they are looking for you. They are looking to this church. They are looking for hope. And they will find hope through this church. This church has been hope, has been light, has been the salt for this city. So I just want to encourage you to keep being the light and the salt for this city, for this nation, and for other nations too. So the crowds, they went to Jesus. Jesus was in a solitary place. And they went after Jesus. In Brazil, I'm going to tell Brazil, but a lot of churches, they are putting people away. If you keep reading the text, the disciples are like, hey, Jesus, the multitude, they are hungry. Send them away. Who was saying that? The disciples were saying that. In Brazil, there is a lot of churches saying, you know what? That is not our people. They don't look like us. They don't smell like us. They don't dress like us. They don't drive cars like us. In Brazil, unfortunately, there's a lot of churches that are doing that. The church of Jesus, the bride of Christ, you and me, we cannot send people away. We are the answer for this city, for this nation, for the world. God has called us. And it's interesting that Jesus looked at the disciples and said, hey, we're not going to send anybody away. We are the answer. So Jesus is telling us tonight, hey, nobody, we cannot send nobody away. Because this church, Woodland Christian Church, we are the answer for this city, for this nation. Amen. You are part of that. And I remember, if you look at the text, the disciples were desperate. Like, what are we going to do? The multitude is hungry. And God used a little boy. God is always going to use what we have. A lot of people, they're looking in their house, their family, they're like, oh, we don't have a lot to give. Guess what? He have a lot to give. God has great things for you, and He wants to use what you have, your talents, your gifts, the way you are. God wants to use you. Don't look at yourself and think, I don't have a lot to give. When you go to a mission trip, you're going to see you have a lot to give. If you have, has anyone here been outside the country of the United States? When you go out, you discover you have a lot to give. God has given you a lot. So we cannot send anyone away, and we have a lot to give. And by the way, if you keep reading the text, I'm not going to preach today. Today, the objective was to let you know what you're doing in this city, keep doing it. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep telling people about Jesus. Keep reaching out to people, because I'm the result of believers that gave up everything to help me. But if you keep reading the text, you're going to see that all the men, women, and children, before they ate, Jesus and the disciples asked them to do what? To sit on the grass. So it was a very organized thing. It was a great thing, but everyone was organized, sitting down. There is a lot of people that are trying to reach that city, trying to reach their country, but they don't want organization. They don't want order. In Brazil, we are really bad with organization. Like, we don't do a schedule. Molly knows that. Here in the U.S., everywhere I go, you guys give me a schedule. Brazilians, we don't do no schedule, you know. But here, most Americans, you know, you guys like a schedule. Yes. So when Jesus is going to feed the multitude, he's going to first prepare, the environment. And he put everyone sitting down. This city, God wants to do great things through this church. But first, he's using the leaders, the elders of this church, to put everything in order. So every time any one of you guys go out, everything they're receiving, it's good food. Amen? Brazilians, we like good food. The world deserves really good food. That's why we got to come, receive, be prepared. So when we give something out to someone, it's some really good food. And by the way, when they fed the multitude, when they went to feed, they didn't have nothing. But when they fed the multitude, they still had leftover. That's what God does to us. So this church, I just want to encourage you. Keep blessing people. Keep reaching out to the people here in the city, in this state, in this country. Because God is always, always going to give you more than you think. Deus sempre vai te dar mais. Deus nunca vai deixar faltar nada. Quando você prega o evangelho, quando você abençoa pessoas, Deus nunca vai deixar faltar. Na tua família, no teu ministério, Deus continua usando esta igreja. Nunca vai faltar. Passamos por dificuldades, mas Deus nunca vai deixar faltar. Porque o foco está nas pessoas, nas vidas. Então, igreja, cada um de você tem um espaço. Deus quer usar cada um de vocês. Cada família. Não é só o pastor. Não é só os elders. Cada família. Cada criança. Cada adolescente. Cada jovem. Deus tem um lugar para você no reino de Deus. Há um lugar para você. Quando você chegar diante de Deus, Deus vai perguntar para você, não para o seu pastor, não o que o seu pastor fez, mas Deus vai perguntar para você, o que você fez com o que eu lhe dei? Para você, o que você fez com o que eu lhe dei? Você não vai poder apontar para o seu irmão, para a sua irmã, porque Deus vai perguntar para você, o que você fez com o que eu lhe dei? Deus tem grandes coisas para esta igreja histórica. Continue abençoando esse lugar. A missão da igreja. Tocar em pessoas que ninguém quer tocar. Abraçar pessoas que ninguém quer abraçar. Olhar para pessoas que ninguém quer olhar. Pisar em lugares que ninguém quer pisar. Esta é a missão da igreja. Nesta cidade, qual é o grupo de pessoas que ninguém está olhando? Quais são os lugares que ninguém quer pisar? Quais são as pessoas que ninguém quer abraçar? Você foi resgatado para ser um agente de resgate. Você foi transformado para ser um agente de transformação. Você foi curado para ser um agente de cura. Deus te deu alegria para ser um agente de alegria. Que Deus abençoe a liderança dessa igreja. Que Deus abençoe cada um de vocês. E que Deus continue usando a tua vida para alcançar muitos Sidneys. Que Deus te abençoe. Eu falei em português porque I said in Portuguese because sometimes it's hard to express what I really want to say in English. It's a great pleasure to meet you guys. It's an incredible experience. We hope someday we'll be back here. If not, we really wish and hope you guys will come to Brazil. The focus of our ministry, and I'm going to pass the mic to whoever is going to take over. The focus of our ministry is three things. To work through the Church of Brazil. We don't want to do things outside the Brazilian church. We want to do things with the Brazilian church. It doesn't matter the denomination, the plaque. We want to serve the Brazilian church. That's our main focus. The second focus, we want to engage the social problems of Brazil. So if you ever come, we're going to be where the problems are. So that's where we want to do, engage the social problems. And the third thing we have, it's if you're 18 years old up, twice a year we have a school. In August 3rd, for 3 months, we'll have a school for missions. So you'll have like world, religious, all these classes for missions for 3 months in Brazil. So after 3 months, we're going to do a practical time in Mozambique, Africa, where my wife grew up. And I've been to Africa 6 different times. So we'll be in Africa for 1 month. And you can come as a volunteer also to Brazil. If you ever want to come as a volunteer, talk to your pastors, to your leaders. Through them, we would love to receive you. And of course, we would love to receive missions teams from your church. And let us know how you want to serve Brazil. The churches, or you want to take a medical team. Oh, I don't know. There is so many things to do. And we will love to receive you in Brazil. We have a building where we have a safe place. It's a safe neighborhood. And we will love to receive you there. God bless you. They will give instructions about our information back there. And we love you guys.
Sidney, thank you so much for sharing. Yes, information on the back table also gives you guys opportunity to give for them as well. They got one more trip down to California and then back to Brazil.
Yeah.
Is that right? All right, we'll close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this family, for the testimony, and really how it should reflect on our lives that we, in light of the gospel, need to value ourselves as we are rescued also to tell. Help us not to take for granted the blessings you've given us, not only in this country, but being a part of the kingdom of God. And I just pray that you would stir our hearts for the things that stir your hearts. I pray that you bless and protect this family. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.